5 years later. Chapter 1. On a late April morning, as rain smeared the window panes, washed the dirt off the sidewalks, and slowed traffic on every block in New York City, 27-year-old Corinne Saybrook stood barefoot in a dressing room, talking on her cell phone in clipped, precise Turkish. "So we have permission to establish the liaison office?" Corinne asked Onur Alper, her contact at the Turkish office of the General Directorate of Foreign Investments, whom she'd met the last time she'd visited. "Yes, all of the documents are in place," Mr. Alper answered, the phone connection crackling. "We'll still need you to register with the tax office, but Saybrook's International is cleared to establish a branch of your business in the Republic of Turkey. Congratulations to you and your company, Miss Saybrook." "Thank you so much," Corinne said smoothly, adding a salam before clapping the phone closed. She smiled at her feet, feeling the satisfying swell of victory. Her family's jewelry empire was one of the most prominent retailers in the country, both for the masses and the fabulously wealthy. But it was Corinne's job to make it number one in the world. Then she gazed down at herself, almost startled to see where she was and what she was wearing. She was clad in an ivory Monique Lhuillier gown. The Chantilly lace fabric clung to her body, accentuating her porcelain skin. The hem ended neatly at the floor at the front and spilled into a long, romantic train at the back. A diamond necklace, on loan from her family's private collection, sparkled at her throat, the jewels cold and heavy against her skin. Today was the final fitting for her wedding dress. Corinne had already canceled several times because of work obligations, but with the wedding in a month, time was running out. There was a knock on the dressing room door. Corinne's cousin and matron of honor, Poppy, poked her head inside, dressed in a classic white shirt, khaki trench, skinny black pants, and a pair of bright red hunter boots that only Poppy could pull off. Poppy had grown up on a farm in the Berkshires, spending as much time picking wild berries and milking cows as she did learning French and playing tennis. "Everything all right, honey?" Corinne turned to her and broke into an exuberant smile. "I just secured the liaison office in Turkey," she said excitedly. "That's wonderful." The corners of Poppy's mouth eased into a smile. "Although, you are allowed to take a break, you know." Poppy gazed down at Corinne's dress and swooned. "Gorgeous. Come on, let's show you off." But just before she led Corinne out of the dressing room, Poppy touched her arm, her expression shifting to one of concern. "I meant to ask you," she said in a low voice. "Tomorrow is May 1st. How are you feeling?" Corinne sucked in her stomach and looked away. She was about to say that she was fine, but then she felt a peppery sensation behind her eyes. "Sometimes I wish I just told him," she blurted. "It seems so selfish that I didn't." Poppy clutched Corinne's hands. "Oh, honey." A timorous look crossed her face. "You know, there's still time." Corinne straightened up and looked at herself in the three-way mirror. Her skin was flushed and her eyes a little dilated. "Forget I mentioned it, okay? I can't believe I even said anything." She grabbed her cell phone from the ottoman in the corner as Poppy gathered up her train. Her mother, Penelope, and her wedding planner, Evan Pierce, sat in an ivory divan in the main salon, Both women turned at the sound of Corinne's swishing skirt. Penelope rose and walked shakily across the room. She had been in a skiing accident in Colorado that winter, and no one had seen who hit her. It was just yet another incident chalked up to the Saybrook curse. The press had had a field day with that.